Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 180 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We can continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to talk a lot of track tonight with the Drake Relays coming up. I have some guests coming into the office later tonight. I also have a couple of interviews that I pre-recorded that I'll be playing for you. I'll also be talking a little soccer with my final guest tonight as the city of Ankeny prepares to pack the pitch next Tuesday for the annual JAG Hawk Games. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. She is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she has been on the podcast before. We're going to talk some real estate with her. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me this evening.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know there's always a lot going on in your business. Why don't we talk about the Prairie Trail Market Home? I know that was one of the things on your list.
Yeah, kind of unique for us. We've been doing a lot of custom builds lately, but we do have a market home ready and or soon to be ready by the end of June for somebody here in Prairie Trail. It's a nice size ranch home, which tends to be a popular plan for everybody, but just over 2,300 square feet with basement finish and under 400,000 in Ankeny. So.
And you said just about all those homes in Prairie Trail are gone, right?
Yeah, we've got very few lots left in Prairie Trail. We're wrapping up a development, adding 8,000 more residents to the city of Ankeny. So that's pretty impressive, starting back in 2008. And here we are, 2022, and getting ready to complete the development.
All right. Well, I also want to talk about the Prairie Trail Scholarship Fund. I don't know anything about that, so why don't you tell me and our listeners about that?
Yeah. Again, back in 2008, when this was kind of a dream for the Aubaugh family, Dennis and Susan Aubaugh pledged their commitment to the community as well as to education, and they started a Prairie Trail Scholarship Fund. They donated the first $100,000, and it's a self-sustaining fund. So each property that's sold in Prairie Trail, one half of 1% goes back into that fund. So anyway, since 2008, over 300,000 has been allocated in scholarships for Prairie Trail residents.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me, what are the current rates right now for home buyers?
You know, we're watching those daily. They're starting to inch up, but you know, we're hovering around that 5% interest rate, which is scary to some people. I know they were, I guess, spoiled with, you know, the high twos and low threes, but still rates are extremely attractive and important to get a pre-approval and to see what your purchasing power is.
I didn't realize that they had gotten that high. Has that been just a recent development?
Yeah, we've had an uptick in the last few weeks, and, you know, we weren't expecting to see 5% interest rates mainly till midsummer, and obviously we had two upticks here in March alone. So anyway, but they're starting to hover around that 5%, but we don't anticipate those going down, only up. So,
well, does that discourage you? Maybe a few people?
It may. However, like I said, there's still great, great rates. I mean, I know people are looking at historic rates, but we hadn't seen rates go up, you know, in the last decade that we're now starting to see. So.
All right. Well, I was telling you off air that, you know, my wife and I, we bought our last home back in October of 2020. And that was the first time we'd bought a house in over 20 years. And a lot of things were new to us or we'd forgotten them. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are looking to buy a home for the first time, or maybe they're in our situation where they haven't for a long time. You know, what tips would you have for first-time home buyers?
That's funny that you say that. I think first-time home buyers are the best buyers and best clients to have. I mean, they're just, you know, looking for knowledge and hanging on everything that you say. I think working with a realtor professional, especially in the competitive market, we're seeing a lot of multiple offer scenarios. A realtor can get you into properties before they're hitting the market. There's a lot of internal networking that's going on in our offices. People have pocket listings, but again, piggybacked with a professional realtor, also, I think it's so important to get a pre-approval from a trusted professional in the banking industry to know what your purchasing power is. Us here at MJ Properties, we work with Gershman Mortgage as a preferred partner. And like I said, there's different programs out there available for those first-time home buyers, but also even those looking at new construction that may need to consider an extended rate lock.
Well, yeah, Gershman is also a sponsor of the podcast. We know Jason and the guys over there really well. They do a nice job.
Yes, we agree. We agree.
Well, you helped us buy our first home many years ago. We appreciate the work you put in for us. And you know, if anybody else wants your expertise, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach out to me. They can either call or text me at 515-975-3735 or email me at Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A, dix.dix@cbdsm.com.
All right, Rhonda. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, well, we're going to go from Rhonda to Ron D. My next guest is a junior distance runner for the Centennial Girls Track Team. She was named last night to the Ankeny Fanatic All-Time Ankeny Girls Track Team, and she'll be competing in three events this week at the Drake Relays. She is Rondi Quas. Rondi, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, hey, you've certainly had an outstanding season thus far. You know, have you been pleased with the times that you've posted?
I've been fairly pleased so far. I feel like it's been kind of a slow start with the weather we've had, but I'm really excited to see what I can do at Drake and State this year.
Well, yeah, the weather's certainly been a challenge for all the track athletes. You know, but as a distance runner, do you think maybe it's been a little easier for you to get some workouts done inside as opposed to, you know, some of the athletes who do the technical events like the hurdles or, you know, or the long jump or the throwing events? Because I would think it would be harder for them to do those inside.
Yeah, I feel like we can, like, run laps around the school and it's pretty easy to manage. But, like, when you're trying to get, like, good, solid runouts, that can be a lot harder. So that's good for the distance on that side.
Well, you'll be competing in the 1500, the 3000, and the 4x800 at Drake this week. Last year, you placed fifth in the 1500, and you also ran in the fourth place 4x800 relay. Now, since your freshman season was wiped out due to COVID-19, those races last year, you know, were probably the first times you'd ever raced on the Blue Oval, weren't they?
Yeah, besides, like, Jim Duncan, that was, like, my biggest race that I'd ever ran, yeah.
Well, did you, you know, learn some things from those races that maybe helped you later when you were back at Drake for the state meet?
I think the biggest thing was, like, in the 1500 was being willing to take a chance and just bet on yourself, because I made a strong move at, like, 500 meters to go, and I don't think I would have done as well if I didn't do that.
Well, your first event is going to be Thursday at 6.07 p.m. It's the 3,000-meter run. You're seated seventh in that race with a time of 10:19. You know, what are your goals for that race? Do you think you have the potential maybe at some point to run a sub-10-minute race?
I was talking with Todd today, and we were kind of looking at about a 10:05 to 10:10 kind of race. Mm-hmm. I would love to go under 10. I think that would take a pretty special day right now, but I do think I'm fully capable of going under 10:10.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you're hoping for some good weather this week. I mean, how important is that to have, you know, favorable running conditions?
I think on the distance side, the biggest thing is, like, not having wind. But I've run in rain and overcast and cold or hot and sunny. So I think I just take the challenge of the weather no matter what.
Well, yeah, I know you had to run in some rain last year at State, didn't you?
Yeah, it was so bad. It was so rainy.
Well, Peyton Noe of Ballard is the top qualifier in that event with a time of 9:46. You know, and nobody else is within 20 seconds of her. Do you think if she goes out by herself that anybody will try to go with her?
I don't think it would be smart to go out with her for who else is in the field. I do see that there could be a couple girls that might want to try and do something special. And if you try and force something, it won't work out. But I think there might be one or two that go out with her and then one or two that, like, could possibly go out with her, but probably won't.
So when you see somebody go out like that, I mean, obviously your mindset is you gotta run your own race, right?
Yeah, I try to usually start a little bit farther back even, and then it always feels better to catch girls as you go rather than be caught by other girls.
Well, then you'll have two races on Saturday, beginning with the 4x8 relay at 10:15. Your team is seated 12th in that race with a time of 9:44. You'll be joined on that relay by three freshmen, Julia Flick, Bella Hodges, and Tilly Smith. So this will obviously be the first Drake Relays experience for those girls. You know, have you tried to tell them what to expect in that race?
Yeah, just a little bit. We honestly, until Thursday, didn't think we would get in because we dropped a bunch of time on Thursday. But I think that has us motivated to really give it our all this Saturday. And Todd has us set up with good workouts. And, you know, we'll just approach it like any other race.
Well, do you guys have a time goal for that race? You know, how high do you think you guys could finish?
I think we could finish top 10 at least. It's a pretty competitive year for the 4x8, but I think we could finish top 10, like maybe top 8 if we have a special day.
Well, I see that Cedar Rapids Prairie is the top qualifier in that race with a time of 9:20. Their team is led by standout runner Gabby Cortez. You know, if they run anything close to that 9:20, they're going to be tough to beat, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. They have a really strong team this year.
Well, then you'll be back on the track at 4:17 for the 1,500-meter run. You're seated 12th in that event with a time of 4:48. Now, you're going to have about 6 hours between races, so that's obviously plenty of time to rest. But is that almost too much time between races? Because you're going to have to get cranked up and stretched out again, aren't you?
I think it'll be a long time between races, but I don't think that'll hurt or benefit me, you know? At the Jim Duncan invite a couple weeks back, I had a similar rest time between the 4x8 and the 15, where I ran that 4:48, and I think I'm going to do a similar routine, so I think I'll feel confident going into the race.
So do you just hang out at the track in the stadium then that whole time, or do you maybe leave for a while?
I leave. I get food. Usually I'll put my legs up or put them in boots just to make sure I'm just refreshed for the next race.
Well, there are some outstanding runners in that 1500 race as well. The top three qualifiers are Daniel Hostetler of Mid Prairie, Ashlyn Keeney of Iowa City Liberty, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, and Ainsley Erzin of Carlisle. But your time in that race is only a handful of seconds behind Hostetler's number one time of 4:41. So do you feel like you can drop some more time in that race and maybe contend for one of those top spots?
I do. I think my top time this year has been 4:48, but I think I'm able to run a lot faster because I've only run it two or three times, and only one of those was with really good competition. So I think now that I've had that one race under my legs, I'll have a chance to really drop some decent time. I'm expecting the PR, but we'll see. You never know.
All right. Well, I should mention that the Jaguars have also qualified for the relays in two other events. Kylan Smith is seated 14th in the 400 hurdles, and your 4x1 team is seated 18th. Now, Kylan is another freshman, and you have two sophomores on the 4x1 team. So you guys have, some really talented young kids on this team, don't you?
Yeah, we do. And it was really cool to see, after Millie Hill graduated, to see some of the freshmen step up into the 400 hurdles, with that being the most challenging race, in my opinion.
Well, Ronnie, I mentioned that you were named to our all-time team last night, and before that, you were named to our all-time cross-country team. And I don't know if you've had a chance to dive into that story or not. It's kind of a long read, but you're one of the eight distance runners on the list, and you obviously know Lauren McMahon very well from competing against her last year. But did you know much of the history, of the other great runners from the past?
I've heard a lot about some of the girls, and some of the girls were new to me, so it was cool to learn about the girls that were new to me and also learn more about the girls I'd heard about, like Kate Smith, but not really looked into as much.
Well, you're sitting here in your Northwestern sweatshirt. I did ask you about this off-air. I know you had a recruiting trip there here recently. Have you looked at some other schools at all, and where are you at in the recruiting process?
It's mainly just starting for me. Obviously, they're going to look a lot at how I do my junior year, but I've looked at Boston University and Northwestern, and I'm looking at a couple more. And I think that'll be a big thing this weekend, is a lot of the schools I'm interested in will be at jerk relays. So I'm hoping to do well, but I'm trying not to let that part of it stress me out. For college, wherever I end up, I think it'll work out.
And you want to study engineering, is that right?
Yeah, probably either biomedical or aerospace.
Well, probably finding the right fit between the academics and the track is probably a little difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to find a school that will support me in doing a difficult major and also balancing running with that.
Well, good luck in that endeavor, and also good luck this weekend. I'll see you down there.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a senior sprinter for the Ankeny Girls track team, and she'll be competing in a couple of events this week down at the Drake Relays. She is Ava Folk. Ava, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, your team is off to a great start this year. You guys won the Waukee Invitational on April 5th, and then you won the Jaguar Invitational on Thursday. Do you feel like this team has the potential to do some great things, down the road, not just this weekend, but next month at the state meet?
Yes, for sure.
Well, what is your goal for, that race? Hold on a second here. My questions here got mixed up. Your first race is going to be, tell me your first race, what is it going to be?
The Sprint Med.
Yeah, Sprint Med.
Yes.
And that's going to be on, it's going to be on Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Friday morning.
My questions got deleted here. We're having some technical glitches here. But I know you guys were seated 16th in that race. And, what's going to be your goal for that race?
We're really excited. I know last meet we were struggling with handoffs, but we put down a really good time. So we're excited about that. And going into Drake, I think our focus is mainly on state, but going into Drake, we're going to finalize some handoffs and looking to finalize that the order of the race too. But we're looking to get sub 150, so that'll be pretty exciting too.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the time, because I think your best time so far is like a 150.75, so you do feel like you can drop, you know, maybe another second in that race?
Yeah, I definitely think we can. The weather did help a lot on our home meet, or Centennial's home meet, and I definitely think as we get those handoffs down and our two legs are doing really great, our two laps, so yeah.
Who else is going to be joining you in that race this week?
Lily Smith, Carson Jacks, and Allie Mackey.
All right. Well, Allie certainly had a great year for you guys thus far. She just broke the school record in the 800, and she'll be running in that event early Friday afternoon as well. You know, she's just been a great addition to the team, hasn't she?
Yes, incredible. It was awesome to have her.
Well, then on Friday night, you'll be back on the track for the prelims and the 4x4 relay. You guys are seated fifth in that event with a time of 4:02. You're joined in that relay by Allie, Zoe Shadrovan, and Morgan Johnson. Now, I know Allie also plays soccer. I heard that she might be headed over to Burlington sometime this weekend to play some soccer. So as of now, you know, she planning to run that race?
We're looking at different options for that race right now, but we're really excited because we've got a lot of depth in the 400 right now. So with any choice we make, it'll be an awesome choice to have a run. So,
well, you're going to have almost 11 hours between your two races on Friday. You know, that's a long time. Will you be sitting around Drake all day, or you plan to come back to Ankeny, or what are you going to do?
I think some of the girls, we have a long break. Like, I know the sprint, so we have a couple running the sprintman and the 4x4, so we'll probably get some lunch in between or something like that. Get out of the sun a little bit.
Well, you sort of have plenty of time to rest, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Well, what's going to be your goal for that 4x4 race? I mean, you have to like your team's chances to make the final, considering where you're seated.
Yeah, our goal is definitely making finals and possibly getting on the podium for that race.
Well, Iowa City High owns the fastest time in that race of 358.82, and nobody else is within 2 seconds of them. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think they're going to be the team to beat in that race?
I definitely think so, yes.
Well, now, is the 4x4 your favorite race? It seems like a lot of track kids, that's what they say. That's your favorite race.
Yeah, that is definitely my favorite. The intensity in that race and the excitement at the end of the meet is definitely my favorite.
Well, of course, you've run a lot of 4x1s in your career as well, and you were a member of that state champion 4x1 relay in 2019. You know, that has to be one of your favorites, too, I would think.
Yeah, I love that race, too. Having them both at the end, too, is really fun.
Well, I know you guys are looking beyond Drake, too, not just this weekend. I mean, do you think this team is capable of doing some great things later on?
100%. One of our goals is definitely getting on the podium for state, and I think our focus is zoning in on that meet, and I think it'll be awesome. So.
Well, you guys tied fourth last year, so you got your work cut out for you there. So, well, hey, Ava, thanks a lot for coming, and I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Girls Squad. He's in his last season with the Hawkettes, and it's shaping up to be a pretty special one. He is Thomas Cotter. Thomas, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know you guys, you know, have some big goals beyond the Drake relays, but you did qualify for Drake in 9 events, so I want to focus mostly on this weekend.
Sure.
I just talked with Ava Folk about the 2 events she'll be running in, the sprint medley and the 4x4, and I'm sure you feel like she does, that you guys, you know, have the potential to do some damage in those events, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. Our sprint med, I don't feel like we've reached our potential in that event. At Thursday last week, our front end of it ran really well. They had a 50-point split, and then Mackie ran a 1-minute split. So I know Mackie's capable of dropping a couple more seconds there. So if we can get under 150, we're going to have a chance to medal. So that's pretty exciting. And our 4x4, I mean, we don't have Mackie there, but we're pretty very deep in that event. We feel like we have 4 girls that can go 1 minute flat. So I think they can make a run for the finals. So.
Well, yeah, your standout freshman, Allie Mackey, she's also, you know, she has been a part of both of those units, and she's also slated to run the 800 early Friday afternoon. And I know you've been sharing her with the girls' soccer team this season, and they're playing in a tournament over in Burlington this weekend. Right. So is that the plan for her to go over there after the 800?
Yep, she's decided to split her time, so we didn't want to put any pressure on them from either program. We wanted the kids to decide where they want to be and when. So she could have picked soccer all weekend, but we're fortunate enough to get her for Friday and see what she can do.
Well, let's talk about her 800 race. She's seated fifth in that event with a time of 217.56, which broke the school record last week. You know, she'll be facing a strong field that includes Ainsley Erzin of Carlisle. She owns the fastest time of 212.05. You know, but Allie isn't going to back down from anybody in that race, is she?
No. I mean, to see Allie's going to be fairly fresh compared to what she has been in other 800s this year. And that race is going to be, it's just loaded. Cortez is in it. And we kind of talked race strategy on Monday that, hey, Erzin and Cortez are probably going to take off in a 101 split that first lap, and you need to trust your race. That's too fast for you. So we talked about dialing it back a little bit and trusting your race that second half of the race and go for it from there. So I'm excited to see what you can do. I'm expecting kind of a big time record. So
yeah. Well, she's obviously having a great year as well on the soccer team, you know, and she's one of a number of kids who are doing both sports this spring. And I don't know how those kids do it. I'm sure it's not easy for you guys to work out the schedules either, but it seems to be paying off for both teams.
Oh, yeah. Well, this year we kind of came with the philosophy they're getting their cardio in at soccer and they're going to get their speed work with us. And Allie and some of those soccer girls said their legs feel fresh. And this is a good time of the year that things start to dial back so they're not as busy. We've got kind of one meet per week and soccer is kind of dialing back. So fresh legs, what we want to hear. So
let's talk about some of the other events that you'll be competing in. You guys will be well represented in the field events. Kendra Winfrey is seated fourth in the shot put. Hannah Baer is seventh in the discus and Reagan Hanfelt is 20th in the high jump. And you certainly have to like the chances for both of your throwers to place, don't you?
Yeah, very exciting. They've put the work in all off season and they're kind of the fruits of their labor right now. There's two school records up for grabs within the next few days. Those could both go down. Kendra's shooting for 42.04, mm-hmm. and then Hannah's going for 131.07, and if they both hit that, they're going to be in contention for titles. That's what they should be going into the weekend thinking.
Well, it might actually be easier for both of those girls, you know, to win a state title than a Drake Relays title because there's a lot of great throwers from the small schools, isn't there?
Yeah, this year seems the smaller schools are really throwing bombs, and 4A hasn't really caught on yet except for Kendra and Hannah. So, and their consistency is a really nice thing to see, too. So,
well, in the shot put especially, Jaden Brumbaugh of Mount Pleasant, you know, she seems to be in a class all of her own. She has a throw of almost 47 feet, and nobody else is even throwing 42. You know, she looks like she's going to be tough to beat, doesn't she?
Yeah, it is, but Kendra's up for that challenge, and the heat sheets and flights and stuff came out today, and Kendra's actually throwing last according to that, so she'll know the mark she needs to beat, so it's going to be exciting for her.
Well, then as far as Reagan goes, it might be tough for her to place, but, you know, if she can get over the bar at 5'4", you know, that might be enough to put her in the top 10, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so, and Reagan's so young at that event and they're doing all kinds of drills and stuff, so she loves looking at film and what she needs to do and small tweaks in the high jump could be huge results. So in the coming weeks, this is going to be a great experience for her now, but looking long term, it's going to be sky's the limit for her.
Well, your other individual qualifier is Drew Beeson, another freshman, and she's seated 8th in the 3000 and 13th in the 1500. Like I said, she's part of that talented freshman group. And I know you've told me before that you're anxious to see what she can do at Drake, you know, when she's running against the state's best runners, because she really, really relishes that competition, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, really, every time she's done 3K, she's had to do it all on her own. At the Valley meet, she had those Roosevelt girls pretty far ahead of her. And then the other night, she just was lap after lap. She was so consistent. So for her to have competition in front of her, I'm just excited to see her go.
And then the other event that you'll be competing in is the 4x1 relay. You guys are seated 36th out of the 96 teams in that race with a time of 51.47. And that relay is comprised of Morgan Conklin, Macy Sterned, Carson Jackson, Lily Smith. You know, it's obviously going to be tough to make the final in that event, but do you think that group is capable of dropping some more time?
Yeah, that group's kind of been off and on injured for different pieces throughout the whole year. And Macy's a little banged up, but I'm excited. They should hit a PR and start getting the snowball going and towards state, get some momentum going. So.
Well, I know you guys do have some big long-term goals as well. I mean, looking ahead to like the state meet, I mean, what do you think this team is capable of?
A top five is a goal going into the year, which is exciting with such a young team. And from there, we start if things go our way this way and this way, I mean, we should be fighting for the podium, I think.
Now, I know every year coaches have decisions to make when they get to like that state qualifying meet and looking ahead to state, how they're going to use their girls. I mean, when you have somebody like Allie who you could use in a lot of different places, I mean, is that one of the challenges, trying to figure out the best places to use her?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And when she told us she's not coming to Saturday of Drake, we knew we could hands off on the 4x8. And we started looking long term, like in March. And really, I've been writing down stuff since November. But for sure, and it's just a matter of, are we going to sub kids in to make sure we get things in, but we want fresh legs later in the meet. That district meet's such a tight turnaround for the 4x8 to DMED, et cetera, and things like that. But we need to get stuff in fast heat and stuff. So just all big puzzle we're putting together. But we're feeling really good about where we're at right now.
Sure. Well, you probably saw the all-time track team that we put out last night. And one of the things that I wrote about in there was Shelby Romig when she won the long jump title last year. I remember you saying, the November before that you'd written down 10 points for her because you were so confident she was going to win state.
Right.
You know, did you do that for anybody this year?
I've got 3 or 4 10s, yes.
Yeah. Well, yep. There you go. Hope it comes to fruition for you. Well, hey, Coach, thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we have been dealing with some technical issues here. If you've listened to the whole podcast, you probably heard me fumble my way through that interview with Ava Folk a little bit ago. I put some questions together ahead of time, and I used them. I used my phone to kind of guide me through the podcast. I had the questions in front of me, and for some reason, part of my file was deleted. So I kind of had to wing a little bit of that. So hopefully we won't have any more technical issues. In a little bit here, I'm going to be playing some pre-recorded interviews for you guys with the Centennial Boys track team. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about the Ankeny Boys track team. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to work out any interviews this week with somebody representing the Hawks team. But I did want to talk briefly about the Hawks qualifiers. They qualified for the relays in 7 events. Carter Acola is seated 14th in the 110 hurdles. And Tyrese Miller is seated 2nd in the 400 and 15th in the 100. Now, Tyrese placed 2nd in the 400 and tied for 4th in the 100 last year. And he also anchored the 3rd place 4x200 relay. Now, all 3 of those events will be held on Friday, but Tyrese isn't listed on the 4x2 this year. So maybe that's a sign that he wants to put more of his focus on the 400, where he has posted a time of 49.58. The only faster qualifier in that race is Kai Hussey of Spirit Lake, who has ran a 48.08. So he'll certainly be tough to beat. But Tyrese ran a 48.44 at Drake last year, so he can drop some more time. Now, Ankeny's 4x2 team is seated 3rd, even without Tyrese. So those guys, you know, can contend for a title as well. That group consists of Jack Belding, Tyson Miller, Jamison Patton, and Tyler Sickerson. The Hawks have ran a 129.68 in that event, and Southeast Polk is the top qualifier at 128.11. Ankeny is also seated 6th in the 4x1, 7th in the 4x4, and 10th in the 4x8, so the Hawks have a chance to win a lot of medals this week. It should be a fun meet. I just hope we get some decent weather for a change. Well, here's the pre-recorded interviews that I have for you guys. The first one is with Centennial Assistant Boys Track Coach Mike Getamy, and it will be followed by interview with senior long jumper Isaiah Valentine. So here you go.
Well, joining me on the phone right now is one of the assistant coaches for the Ankeny Centennial Boys track team. The Jaguars have a meet on Tuesday night, so we needed to pre-record this interview. He is Mike Getamy. Mike, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, Coach, this has obviously been a challenging season with all the crappy weather we've had. It's another cold and windy day. Were you guys able to get much done at practice tonight?
We were. We try to take advantage of as much inside space as we can on days like today. For example, we spent quite a bit of time inside the big gym here at Centennial High School doing our warm-up and our extended warm-up before we went outside to do the necessary things that we need to do when we step on the track, like relay exchanges and block work, things you can't do inside. So all in all, this has been more or less than normal this track season. And we just try to do everything we can inside until it's time to go outside and step on the track.
Well, I'm sure you guys have had some different objectives at different meets. You know, some nights you've tried to stack some events to try to get into Drake, and maybe at some other meets you've tried to score as many points as you can. Your team did play 2nd last Tuesday at the Fred Smith Hawk Relays, where you finished 6 points behind North Polk. So have you been happy with the team's progress to this point?
Yeah, absolutely we are. And this team brings back a lot of individuals with not as much track experience as previous teams have. And this is my first year on the boys' side. I was on the girls' side previously. But this boys' side is a really, really young group of kids. And so we're just trying to figure out best places for them individually on relays and in individual events, and then kind of where it makes the most sense with them at which leg and where their strong suits are on those relays. And so that's kind of been a puzzle piece we've been working with this track season so far.
Well, you guys did qualify for Drake in 4 events, and by comparison, last year this team qualified in 9, and the team certainly lost some talented guys from last year's squad that went on to place 3rd in the state meet, you know, so that's obviously a factor in maybe why you didn't qualify in as many events, but do you think the weather's been a factor too?
Yeah, I'd say the weather's definitely been a factor, but, you know, it's a factor that's been affecting more schools than just ours and our team alone, so I think the playing field is very similar across all aspects, and I mean, we really preach to our guys controlling the attitude and the effort that we can bring to practice every day, and for the most part, our guys have done a great job with that the last few weeks.
Let's talk about the events that you did get into Drake, and let's start with the field events. Isaiah Valentine qualified in the long jump, and he set a school record of 21 feet 8 inches at the Waukee Relays on Thursday. You know, he's having a really nice year, isn't he?
Yeah, Isaiah's having a great year. We're extremely proud of him and the progress he's made this track season and the excitement he brings to our team, for sure. And he's the first long jumper to qualify for Drake Relays in school history as well.
and you've also qualified junior Sam Dietz in the shot put. He'll be competing on Friday morning, and he surpassed the 50-foot mark multiple times this season, and he has a PR of 51 feet, 8.5 inches. You know, he's really come on. What do you think has been the key to his success?
He's one of those guys, one of those throwers that he's a thrower first. You know, you get a lot of those throwers in the throwing community that are maybe football players first, but he lives and breathes shot put and throws, and he loves it. He's always hungry to get better. We have a phenomenal throws coach. Coach Clayton Workman does a great job developing these kids from an early age and give them all the tools they need to be successful. And Sam's done a great job taking everything in stride and becoming the best shot putter he can be so far. I know he's really looking forward to competing at Drake. He's the first shot putter in school history to qualify for Drake, and I know he has a lot of honor and pride in that as well.
Well, Sam enters the relays as the 20th seed, and Isaiah is 14th. You know, what are the goals for those guys? Do you think they're both capable of moving up into the top 10?
I definitely do, and Isaiah and I haven't talked about this specifically, but he's here next to me now, and I think a top 10 finish is within reach for Isaiah in the long jump, and something that we're going to try to keep our eye out for, and maybe even shooting for the finals would be great as well. And I think Sam is in a similar position with Mr. Workman, that they're just looking down there to get the good experience, help prepare themselves for the state meet, and then obviously his senior year next year as well, just get that experience down there on the Blue Oval.
Well, both of those guys will see the best jumpers and throwers in the state. There are two long jumpers who have already gone over 24 feet, and nobody else has even reached 23. Abu Sama of Southeast Polk has recorded a jump of 24.10. And then in the shot put, you know, there are two guys that have thrown over 60 feet. Brandon Vandersloos of Lamar's leads the way with a toss of 63.5. Boy, those two guys are going to be tough to beat, aren't they?
Absolutely. There is some strong competition out there. You know, those first couple spots might be locked up. But then the next couple and into the finals, it's really anybody's game who has a good day and shows up on Drake on Thursday or Friday, depending on what event we're talking about.
Well, the Jaguars have also qualified in the 4x100 and 4x200 relays. You guys placed sixth in both of those events last year. And even though you have entirely new foursomes in both of those relays, you know, you've still qualified with a 13th and 11th fastest times, respectively. So you have to feel pretty good about, you know, what you've been able to do in those events thus far, considering the lack of returning runners.
Absolutely. Coach Smith, Coach Denmark, Coach Lopez have done a great job developing those sprinters, you know, fine-tuning all the handoffs, the block work that we can to kind of maximize everybody's potential, whether it's running a little bit shorter some legs, a little bit longer some legs, just to put ourselves in the best position going forward. And we've been kind of playing with a few different lineups in those as well. Not, you know, it hasn't been the same quartet for both relays week to week. We've kind of been trying to find who's working best with who can receive a handoff better, who can take out better, and who can do a good block start. There's many pieces that go into it, and we're kind of trying to find that final piece now, where I think we're definitely on the way.
Well, I know on the list of Drake Relays qualifiers, it shows you guys having Alex Schneider, Connor Welsh, and Nick Severson running in both of those relays, and they'll be joined by Max Snyder in the 4x1 and Owen Gates in the 4x2. You know, are those the lineups that you're planning to run, this weekend?
Yes, I do believe those are the lineups we'll be running this weekend at Drake Relays.
Okay, I know those things can change sometimes, but well, there's 96 teams running in the 4x1 prelim, so it's obviously, you know, difficult to make it to the finals. Do you feel like this is a group, though, that if they drop a little more time, that maybe they could get into the finals?
Absolutely. I do think both these quartets are groups that can drop some more time. You know, with every piece of fine tuning we've been doing week to week, they've been away at previous best. And I think the best is yet to come for these groups.
Well, then the 4x2 final will be held on Friday afternoon, and you guys have ran a time of 130.72 in that event. You know, do you feel like if that group is able to get under 130 on Friday, you know, that might be good enough to get into the top six or top eight?
Yeah, I do think a sub-130 would be a top-8 finish for sure.
Well, I know you guys are looking beyond this weekend as well. You got about a month left in the season, and of course they'll be finishing up with the state track meet next month. You know, long-term goals for this team, what do you think this team is capable of doing at state?
I don't want to put that out there. I'm not too sure. We got a lot of young talent, and we're really looking forward to seeing them develop. We want our upperclassmen and our seniors to leave on a good note and have a great experience with high school track. You know, last year the team finished third, and the previous 2 years were both top 10 finishes, and then, you know, we had the COVID year the year before. But I think putting this team in a position where we're giving a lot of great experience to to our returning athletes. I think it's a goal for a lot of us, just so we can have, you know, even better start to next year's program.
All right, Coach. Well, hey, we appreciate your time tonight, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Dan.
You bet. All right, well, joining me on the phone right now is a senior long jumper for the Jaguars. He has qualified for the Drake Relays and will be competing on Thursday afternoon. He is Isaiah Valentine. Isaiah, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, you've certainly had a good season thus far. You know, was making it into Drake one of the goals that you had at the beginning of the season?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. It was probably one of the top goals for me.
Well, I mentioned earlier when I was talking to Coach that you set the school record of 21-8 at the Waukee Relays on Thursday. You know, did you know right away after you made that jump that you had nailed a good one?
It felt good in the air, but I didn't think it was that long, to be honest. Nah.
So you're kind of surprised, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think has been the key to your success this season? Have you made some improvements physically, or is it mostly about the technique with you?
Yeah, me and Coach Gettemy have been working a lot about approachment work, and he's helped me a lot with that. So,
all right. Well, have you competed in some other events this season, or are you just focusing mostly on the long jump?
I've done the high jump and the 4x2 and the distance med as well, and the 200 leg for that.
Oh, okay. Do you like running as well, or is the long jump your favorite event?
Well, long jump was for sure my favorite event, but I like running events too.
Well, what are your goals for the relays? I noticed on the list of qualifiers that there was only a 4-inch gap between you and the number 7 seed, you know, who has jumped 22 feet. So the margin between you and a lot of those guys isn't very much. You know, if you could somehow get up to that 22-foot mark, you know, do you think you could maybe place in the top 6, top 8, make the finals?
Yes, for sure. That's one of my goals, is to hit 22 at Drake on Thursday as well.
Well, the weather conditions obviously have not been very good this year. You know, how difficult has it been to jump in the cold and windy weather?
Well, the first couple of meets weren't good at all, man. They were just cold, windy, when it was rainy. So it's been a struggle, but for the past, like, 2 weeks, it's been pretty decent. So I've got some good jumps in.
Well, if you get a really nice day someday and you happen to be feeling really good and you hit your mark perfectly, you know, how far do you think you could jump?
I'd say about 22-3 maybe.
Uh-huh.
Up there.
Well, that's a good goal to have. Well, hey, good luck this week. I'll see you down there.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest tonight is the driving force behind the Pack the Pitch effort to break the all-time attendance record for a soccer match in Iowa at next week's Jag Hawk Games, and I wanted to get a final update from him on how things are going. He is Kevin Welsh. Kevin, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, I know you came here straight from the Centennial Boys soccer game tonight, and I just saw on Twitter that they won the game 10-0, so I guess they kind of dominated, huh?
They did, yep. Really kind of hitting their stride right now, so looking forward to a great matchup next week.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing that all four Ankeny teams will probably win tonight, and that would give them a combined record of 36-3. The Ankeny boys team is ranked number 1. The girls team is ranked number 2 and hasn't even allowed a goal all season. And the Centennial girls and boys are ranked 4th and 6th, respectively. You know, boy, those games are shaping up to be great battles next week, aren't they?
They really are, and so it's made our part in marketing the game to the public really easy, because the teams and the players, they've done their part. They're putting a great product out on the field, and it's going to be fun to watch next weekend.
Well, the all-time attendance record that you're trying to break is 7,342. Obviously, a big factor is going to be the weather, which has been absolutely awful this spring. You know, it's been a pretty nice night tonight. Would you take tonight's weather next week if you could?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. You know, we the group that we got together, all the parents that have kind of helped me through this process, you know, the first meeting that we had, a few of them chimed in and they said, well, what are we going to do about the weather? And it's like, we don't talk about the weather at these meetings. There's nothing that we can do about it. But if we had weather like this, you know, we're hoping that Mother Nature's gotten it all out of her way in April, and we turn the calendar in May, and we got a great night coming to us in Tuesday, May 3rd.
We're certainly due for some nice nights, I think. But, well, I know the last time I talked to you that you had a lot of promotions in the works for that night in an effort to get more people out. So I'll just give the floor to you here for a few minutes if you'd like. You know, what do you want people to know about that night? What promotions are available to them, you know, as far as getting in with discounted tickets and so forth?
Yeah. So all adults and all students, that have an activity pass, they get in with that. Otherwise, if you don't have an activity pass, you're going to get in for $1. Then from there, we're really trying to do recognize the youth night, for soccer through Rush or Ankeny Parks and Rec. And so any youth elementary student wearing a, game jersey or soccer jersey, if they show up to the game, they get into the game for free. Really looking forward to getting a great turnout from the Rush participants, from the Ankeny Park and Rec participants. And then we've done a great job of marketing through the school system as well. And so all the elementaries are very, very much aware of what we're trying to accomplish here. And we've invited all those students to the game as well.
Have you gotten a lot of feedback, you know, whether it's from, you know, the community or maybe some of the sponsors, people that are, you know, getting pretty excited about this?
Yeah, definitely. Getting a little bit of groundswell. I know that, you know, if you look on social media, if you just search Ankeny Pack the Pitch, either on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, we got a lot of different things that we post out there leading up to the game. We'll be going to be posting a number of new things all this week building up to the game next Tuesday, but you can find out a lot of information there. And I just know that we're starting to put stuff out with our sponsors, our regular season sponsors as well, getting them flyers and marketing materials and yard signs. So you're going to see more of that over the next 7 days leading up to the game. But everything that we've heard from the people that we've had outreach with in the community has been really positive. And, you know, it sounds like there's a really good chance we're going to get there. But like you said, the weather's going to play a little bit of part of it. And that's unfortunate. But I really think that the community, the both schools are definitely behind it, and the community is rallying around it. And I think it's something that we can do next Tuesday.
Now, whatever the final attendance figure ends up being, are there any plans at the game that night to, you know, either recognize the record, whether it's broken or not, to recognize the crowd?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're going to be giving updates throughout the night on the number of tickets that we've sold and where we're at on the attendance throughout the games that are being played that night. And we absolutely will celebrate the efforts of the teams, of the crowd that was there that night, and announce that crowd. And, you know, that will be a record for us. If we're not fortunate enough to break it, that'll be a record for us to achieve next year. So in the end, we're going to have a community record for a soccer game. I can pretty much guarantee that. And we're probably going to likely have a high school record for a soccer game. And so then after that, if we can get the state record, we'll hang our hat on that. But otherwise, we'll set the bar for next year.
Well, I know I had the coaches in here for a podcast here in the last few weeks. I talked to them about it, and they're all excited about it as well. I'm sure you've gotten that feedback from them too, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. I know that they've got to do a number of fun things leading up to this. I know that we're getting ready to release a couple of different hype videos that both boys and girls teams have put together. So that'll be on social media as well. They've got to do some fun things like that. I know that we've been a little bit of a distraction to their normal schedule leading up to games. But I think that we've tried to take care of things and do as much as we can on our own. But we also, you know, the players are the ones that need to be recognized in the community and at the schools, and they relate to the elementary kids. And so tomorrow morning, they're actually going to be at every elementary. We got them divided up north and south. And they're going to be at every elementary greeting all the kids coming into school and asking them to come out next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see those hype videos. I had a friend of mine send me one today. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but he's got a relative that plays for the Ankeny girls, so somehow he got a hold of it and sent it to me. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see that. And I haven't looked at the schedules yet. I heard a while back that now the boys' game is going to be first. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep. 6:15 start for that one is what it's estimated to be. So, yep, boys first.
Well, they certainly could have gone either way with that. I mean, they're going to be great games. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say that the girls' game is like the headliner, because they're both going to be great games, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said earlier, I mean, all four teams are going to be for sure in the top five and maybe in the top four. So, should be a great night of soccer.
Well, I know that the pairings for the sub-state and regional tournaments haven't come out yet, but all four teams are certainly in line at this point to get, you know, number one seed. So I think there's a good chance that all four teams could end up making it to state and possibly meeting again. I had somebody asking me about possibly doing something that week at the state tournament. I said, I think I'm going to have four teams to cover at state, so I don't think I can do anything that week. But it should be a great game, great games next Tuesday. I'm looking forward to it. Well, hey, Kevin, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and thanks for all that you do for Ankeny Sports. And the last thing that I would say is I would just like to thank all the parent volunteers that helped me organize this along the way and take different tasks and run with it. So I appreciate all their help along the way too, in addition to both ADs.
You bet. All right. Thanks, Kevin. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Well, we made it through to the end here, despite some technical glitches tonight. If you're listening to this podcast after it's been posted, I guess we didn't have any more. So hope you enjoyed all the conversations we had tonight. I appreciate all of my guests for coming in, either into the office or joining me over the phone. I appreciate all the time from those folks. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. Next week, we'll be breaking down the Jaghawk soccer games from the night before. So come back next Wednesday for the next Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.